Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Thomas Cook India Limited Q2 FY19 conference call hosted by IIFL Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Akella from IIFL Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ali. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on this 2Q FY19 post-results conference call of Thomas Cook India Limited. My name is Abhijit Akella. I'm the mid-caps analyst at IIFL, and it's my great pleasure to introduce the senior management team of the Thomas Cook Group who are here with us to discuss the results today. We'll begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Mahesh Iyer, CEO and Executive Director, following which we'll open up the call for a Q&A session. I'd now like to hand the call over to Mahesh to take it forward. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Abhijit. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join this Q2 earnings call for Thomas Cook. Before I begin, I would like to quickly introduce the management team who are there with me on the call today. First in the order is Debashish Nandi, President and Group CFO for the Thomas Cook Group, Vishal Suri, Managing Director for SOTC, Nitin Menon, the CFO for SOTC, Deepak Deva, Managing Director, Travel Corporation of India, Sanjay Shroff, CFO for Travel Corporation of India, Brijesh Modi, CFO for Thomas Cook India Limited. I'd also like to mention here that we don't have the management team from Sterling Holidays on the call. While we'll give you a quick update on the Sterling performance for the quarter, if there are any specific areas that need attention, we'll try and address as far as possible. But if there are more detailed ones, we'll try and connect you offline or take that on a separate conversation with the management team of Sterling. Just to quickly jump onto the Q2 performance for Thomas Cook, and the first point that I would like to mention here is that we had a very strong consolidated performance driven by robust growth across the forex and travel vertical. What I would request here to the investor group is to look at the investor presentation that has been uploaded because the reported results that are available on the SEBI website are not necessarily comparable. As you will appreciate, that we have deconsolidated the Quess numbers from the current quarter. Hence, the quarter-on-quarter comparison is necessarily not a comparative number. Hence, getting into the investor deck will be a more comparative view of the performance. The key levers for the strong consolidated performance for the group have been a strong performance at Thomas Cook standalone numbers, and I will talk about the levers on the standalone numbers in a bit, followed by a very strong performance from TCI despite a very lean quarter for the business. The peak for the inbound business into India starts in October. Despite that, we have had a very strong growth coming both in terms of top line and revenues coming from TCI. SOTC had a very strong performance coming both on the holidays and the MICE segment. Hong Kong came back from a mediocre growth in the previous quarter to a very strong growth in the current quarter, and that's reflected in our consolidated performance. And the DMS entities have reduced their losses substantially, which has aided the group performance to the level that it is currently. On the standalone side, we had very strong numbers reported both on the financial and the travel verticals. The FX volumes actually grew by about 23%, revenue grew by about 11%, and the EBIT contribution grew by about 38%. MICE and corporate travel both had a double-digit top of 50% growth in terms of top line sales, and revenue grew by over 20%. The leisure outbound and holiday businesses recorded 11% growth despite the fact that this was a quarter where it's a shoulder quarter for the outbound season, and also because the Shradh and the Puja holidays came into October as compared to last year where it was in September. Despite that, we saw our top line sales growing by 11% and revenue growing by about 14%. Some of the other key highlights for the current quarter: the standalone company repaid its NCD to the tune of 67 crores plus the 33 crore that was due. So currently, the standalone company is completely debt-free. We also got our ARC license, which allows us to operate a ticketing business, which aids our corporate travel business both at SOTC and Thomas Cook in the US market. And as we speak, the business is actually live. So currently, we get the opportunity to bid for global contracts, and that we believe is a great opportunity. And also, we announced the acquisition of a 24% stake in Travel Junkie Private Limited, running the brand Ithaca, which we believe is a very exciting phase of growth for the Thomas Cook unit to come in the years. Lastly, our order book for Q3 holds very strong at about 20% growth over a comparable quarter. And we believe with the launch of our summers 2019, where we have seen some good responses coming from the market, our estimation for the full year seems very robust and strong. I would like to stop here and hand over the call to Vishal Suri to give us a bit more background on the travel-related businesses and then take questions and answers as it comes along. And it will be passed on to Deepak to give us opening comments on the inbound business, followed by Debashish giving us an update on the consolidated and the group DMS numbers. And then we'll throw the floor open for questions.
Thank you, Mahesh. This is Vishal here, and good afternoon, everybody. For the July-September quarter, our travel businesses have witnessed a good growth. This is traditionally, like Mahesh mentioned, a shoulder season after the peak season in April and June. This year, even Dashara and Puja holidays shifted to October versus last year they were in September. So obviously you need to see the results with that in context. Long hauls continue to be to show a robust demand, which is good for our business, and this I'm mentioning because this is despite the rupee weakening. Revenue from our travel businesses are up by about 15% versus last year of 1,281 million. We are at about 1,474 million this year. EBIT has grown to 189 million from 21 million last year, which is a significant improvement in performance. Overall, holidays businesses have registered a 16% growth. MICE businesses have witnessed a 51% growth over last year same quarter. We are also working on synergy and consolidation of the back-end support functions, and that process is already delivering efficiencies. We've also initiated in this quarter the back-end consolidation for corporate travel's transactional processes through COE and also the billing function. We believe that this will also benefit in process efficiencies going forward. Coming to the forward bookings for the winter period, including Diwali and New Year, the Mahesh has already mentioned the number. It's up by about 20% versus last year. We've also launched the long hauls for Europe and US. Still early days because those launches happened in end of September and early October. We've mentioned it earlier also, and we continue to invest in technology and are witnessing a good sales uplift due to the analytics program that we had initiated on lead prioritization and past customer retargeting. We can directly attribute approximately about 250 crores on an annualized basis to this initiative across both the brands Thomas Cook and SOTC. We've also embarked on the customer experience enhancement journey where PwC is a program partner. This project is transformational. It is helping us recalibrate our customer value proposition across all our travel businesses before, during and post a customer's formal engagement with our brand. This is being run across both Thomas Cook and SOTC brand, and it's in line with our strategy of being an omni-channel player. The first line of business that we have already started to see some early implementation is the holidays business. This is transformational because this will help us to be more relevant with our existing set of customer archetypes as well as new emerging customer archetypes. We are also investing for the customer experience in our stores, and we have invested in a Bangalore store and the Coimbatore store. We have created customer experience zones which are equipped with VR and digital consoles so that the customer can actually experience a far better holiday purchase experience. I will stop here at this point in time and will hand over to Deepak.
Thank you, Vishal. This is Deepak Deva from TCI. The second quarter for us in the inbound business, I'll be speaking about the inbound business of the destination management business in India. We run brand Sita and Sita, TCI, Distant Frontiers and Go Vacations. These are the four operating brands. The quarter the one and quarter two are normally, especially quarter two is the lowest season in India because it's off season due to the heat in July, June, July and August, and most Europeans, which is the main market, do not operate at that time. However, we were very fortunate to have acquired two new customers, one from Germany and one from France, that do business for almost 10 months a year, and they also operated well in this quarter as compared to last year. Their business also was not only high volume, it also had good revenues, and that's reflected in our revenue line. Over last year, we grew from 43 crores last year to 59 crores this year in the top line, and on a revenue or margin base, we grew from 6.7 to 17.8 crores this year. One of the reasons also of growth in the revenue piece was because we got the government support of the SEIS of rupees 5 crores, which is a subsidy that the government gives us for earning a foreign exchange. We also were assisted by the dollar and the euro because we had contracts that were favorable to us, and both these current and the rupee depreciated. We also had a good margin for these clients and the other business in order for us to deliver a decent result. Going forward, especially quarter three, which is the period October to December being the peak season for our inbound business, our pipeline is very healthy and we are on target to achieve our budgeted turnover of close to 700 crores of foreign exchange earning for the company. So the next quarter is looking good. The orders are in place. The pipeline is strong. And India as a destination is doing extremely well, assisted by the e-visa that the government has given out. There's also a huge campaign now by the government of India, which is on social media, which is also helping generate interest in the destination. So that's it from my side. I'll now pass it on to Mahesh.
I'll now give it to Debashish to talk about the consolidated numbers and also of the DMS entities before we throw the call open for question and answers.
Hi, Debashish Nandi. So I'll give you a quick couple of bites on the DMS. The DMS business, which is acquired in July of last year, so this is effectively the first comparable quarter that we have. Our revenues, our gross margins actually improved from about 15% to 17%, leading to a 10% improvement in the revenues. On our PBT last year in the same quarter, they reported a loss of 42 million. This year the loss has reduced substantially to only 9 million. So we are inching towards the break-even in these businesses, as we had mentioned in the last call as well. So, and we are quite confident of getting them to break-even and to profitability in the next 1 year or so. Coming to the consolidated numbers for the quarter, our revenue from operation, or income from operations, went up by about 15%. From 1400 crores to 1605 crores. At a EBIT level, we had reported a loss of 17.7 crores last year, and this year we have actually delivered a profit of 6 crores. And similarly, on the PBT number, we have made substantial improvements due to lower interest and finance cost. So our PBT, last year we had reported a loss of about 398 million. This year the loss has reduced substantially to over one-fourth of that number, to about 112 million. So this is, you know, obviously, as Mahesh pointed out right in the beginning, this is a shoulder season. And, you know, with the improved performances in the various segments of the businesses, we expect to do even better in the coming quarters. We now throw this conference open for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Khanna from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for strong growth in all business segments here. My question is related to the third and the fourth quarter, which is, so if I understand this correctly, third and the fourth quarter are the good quarters for for the travel business, right?
So, Mohit, this is Mahesh. Yes, it's kind of a mixed bag. If you understand, we have a portfolio of businesses in the travel space. The inbound businesses have a very strong quarter coming in Q3 and Q4 because that's the peak season for them. Whereas on the outbound side, while Q3 will still show some growth because of the festive travel and everything else, but Q4 essentially will be again an investment quarter because that's when we start hunting for summer of FY19, for which trading will happen in FY20. So essentially, it's kind of a mixed bag in terms of the quarterly book that you look at.
Okay. So I just missed the number which Debashish gave on the travel side, or the consolidated number for the loss that we have reduced, the EBIT loss. Debashish could just give it us again.
Yeah. So at the EBIT level, we actually moved to profitability from a loss of 177 million last year. We moved to a profit of 60 million this year.
So this is,
this is excluding Quest. This is excluding Quest. So what I'm reporting to you are sort of comparable numbers, which includes the travel Forex and even Sterling, but excludes Quest, because as you know, Quest, we are effectively going through a restructuring process by which Quest will be taken out of the results, and therefore I think it's only fair that we take out Quest, right, the impact of Quest on last year.
So this is the EBIT number that you are
talking about. At a PBT level, the losses went, the loss was last year was about 398 million. This year it's gone down to one fourth of that at 112 million.
But the numbers that came out, it also had a loss on the EBIT level. And that 48 million loss. Am I missing something here?
What you need to look at is I'm giving you as a comparable number. As I said, the numbers are reported as per the SEBI format. The SEBI format does not allow us to change anything that was reported last year. So last year reporting included Quest results because it was a full-fledged subsidiary. This year it is only this year our shareholding has gone down to from 57% to 49%, and therefore it's only an associate. And therefore we are not taking Quest results into account.
So in the presentation,
there is a confusion because of that. I completely understand that, which is the reason I am giving you the numbers which are excluding Quest.
Yes, I am looking at the presentation, page 22. So this is the F2 consolidated, second quarter consolidated number that I have. Over here, the segment results that I have. So we have comparable, under the comparable table, we have 19 crores of profit, that is for the operating segments, and then we go down to 11 crores of loss in the PBT side, 11.2, 112 million that you said.
Yeah.
Right? We even had a profit last year, a small profit of 27 million. Page 22 presentation.
Just give us a minute.
So what you have there, for the like-to-like, that EBIT number does not include the common expenditure. You need to take out the common expenditure and then you'll arrive at the exact number. For example, last year the 27.2, from there if you take out the common expenditure of 204, you will arrive at 177, which is the number that I've given you.
Right, because that I didn't see anywhere.
Okay,
so we have some common expenditure also over here.
Yeah, which is there every year. In fact, you'll see the heartening bit is that we have managed to reduce the common expenses from 20 crores, 204 million to 155 million. So we have actually reduced by 25%.
Okay. That's how you see it. Fair enough. Okay, so one more question I have. So for the first half, on like-for-like basis, the EBIT margin of the travel business was reported at 3.8%. However, as per the SEBI, numbers, we have reported margin at 2.8%, right? And the full year, on the normalized level, we say that travel is somewhere around 4-4.5% EBIT margin business. So, how confident are you of achieving 4-4.5% for FY19 and in FY20?
So when we say 4-4.5%, we stand by that number, but that includes as we have pointed out time and again, that we have been incubating two businesses, the domestic business and the online e-business, the online business, which has been loss-making for the past, in the past 3 years.
Right.
This is the fourth
right.
year effectively. So if we take that out, it is not it is offsetting the 4% EBITDA actually and bringing it down. Coming to your question of how confident are we of getting there, the domestic and the online business are in the midst of a turnaround, and they are, we are very hopeful or very confident of getting into a break-even in the next 12 months or so.
What was the loss by this domestic business during second quarter? EBIT loss?
So if you look at the EBT. At the EBT level for the second quarter, the loss for the domestic business was about, as you know, that this is again a shoulder season. So
mm-hmm.
this was about 5 crores for the domestic business, and EBIT was about 3.5 crores.
EBIT and?
At the EBT, it's post interest.
Of post interest, it's 5 crores loss.
This is after considering the impact of the Kerala flood, because the domestic business got, definitely got impacted by the floods in Kerala.
Fair point. If I just got this picture correctly, there has been a marked improvement in the travel business year over year. Going forward, the third quarter is very strong for the inbound business. And some of that strongness will also be seen in the outbound side. However, the fourth quarter is weak for the outbound business.
Yes, but it's
wrong
for the
right. Okay, now just coming to the DMS entity over here. So, so PBT, as you said, has declined for this quarter only from 42 million to 9 million.
It has last year was a loss of 42 million, so it is minus 42, not plus 42.
Yes, loss.
The loss has reduced to 9 million.
So this is for the second quarter.
This is for the second quarter.
How much of that was in the first quarter, if you have those numbers?
So in the first quarter, we don't have comparable numbers because the acquisition took place on 1st of July last year. In the first quarter of this year, they made a loss of 23 crores.
23 crores?
Yes. So if you look at consecutive quarters rather than sequential quarters rather than quarter on quarter, then 23 crores has gone down to less than a crore, 90 lakhs.
So this is a very good improvement coming in the DMS side as well.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Fair point. If you can just share the growth in the businesses in the travel side, in inbound, outbound. Because you have already shared the gross margins in the inbound and MICE business, and I think MICE grew by 50%. And how was the outbound?
I'll quickly run through this list of the segments of the travel business, and I'll talk about the growth in this particular quarter.
Right.
On the outbound side, at overall level, it grew by 19%. MICE grew by 53%. 53%, yes. The inbound business grew by 12% in an off-season. And the other main business is the corporate travel business, which grew by about 16%.
And DMS increased by 10%.
Yes.
Fair enough. Fine. I think that's it. And for the sterling piece over here, so your revenues this quarter was down around 6% year over year. That is taking into account the accounting changes, 115, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then you have a loss of 23 crores, which is mostly a notional loss. How about the cash flows in the sterling for this quarter?
The accounting change has nothing to do with the cash flow. The cash flows remain unaffected. So, it has no short or long-term impact on cash flows at all.
Okay. Right. But I think this accounting change will give you a more stability and visibility on sterling revenues going forward, because you have a deferred revenue to, amortize over a period of time. Is it the correct way of reading this?
Yes. It certainly gives a little better predictability as far as the vacation ownership stream is concerned.
Right.
As there are multiple streams, there's a resort income stream.
Yes. So just taking this for the remaining year, so 23 crores loss of the second quarter, this should be roughly around the same run rate that we could see for the remaining year for sterling.
It can get better in the next quarter, because the July, August, September quarter is a season when the resource income is impacted, because this is not a season when people come into these resorts. It's a monsoon season in most of India, and therefore, as we said right in the beginning, the Navratri etc. fell in October rather than in September, so that also had the impact. So we should see a better quarter. Q3 should be a better quarter. Q4 again normally is a weak quarter, because Jan, Feb, March is not a time when most people would tend to travel.
Fair enough. And last point over here, the interest expense that you have, which obviously come from subsidiary companies, because standalone you are debt free now. What is the split? Where is the debt remaining now? At the sterling level or at the SOTC or DMS level? When you consolidated the numbers?
I think I need to clarify something before I talk about the loan, etc. One thing is that when you say interest and finance cost, it also includes all the various bank charges and letter of credit charges, etc., the cash management charges that are all included. It is not purely interest. Okay? That's the qualifier that I would like to say right up front, because that's
right.
Normally in terms of loans, we have some acquisition loans which are primarily there in the subsidiaries, notably in Hong Kong, and also for the DMS acquisition last year, we used two of our Indian subsidiaries, TCI and SOTC, for the funding, and so the loans exist in these entities.
Sorry?
Loans exist in these two entities.
Okay.
Sterling has about 70 crores of loan, which they had taken for the purpose of financing two of the resorts that they built last year.
Okay. So I suppose the loan, could you just have average interest cost of these loans? I suppose sterling should be somewhere around 10, 11 or 12% maybe, around that? And
these are not working capital loans, so these are at lower. So these are at various rates, so ranging from about 7.5 going up to about 9.5 to 10%.
All right. Fair enough. And could you just talk about the capital employed and working capital invested in the travel and the forex business, please? Last point from me.
Okay. So that's there in the segment results. You have a flavor of the capital employed in the segment results that's available there. In terms of the travel businesses, the capital employed is mostly in the form of working capital, because we are an asset-light company. So all the units that we have within Thomas Cook, except for Sterling, are asset-light companies. So the only capital employed that is there is really the working capital that we invest in various businesses, and of course the value of the investments that we have in some of the subsidiaries like Sterling, as well as the 49% stake in Quest. So I don't think there is anything remarkable in terms of on the working capital. Our receivables and payables continue to be in the same, is slightly better than what we had in June. So we made some improvements there, but I don't have any special comments on the working capital right now. If you have any specific questions, we can answer that.
I'm mostly concerned with the float. How is the float position changing?
The float position will depend entirely on the BPC card. you know, I will request Mahesh to give you a quick update on the BPC part, and because the float is entirely on that.
So the float that we talk about here is completely out of the foreign exchange business. This comes out of the prepaid card portfolio that we have. We've seen about 18% growth on that portfolio in the current quarter. The average CAGR on the product for the last 3-4 years has been about 20%. And the float that builds up on this product currently at this point in time as we speak, we have about 550 crores worth of float on the BPC product.
Sorry?
We have about 550 crores Indian rupees worth of float that is there on the BPC product, and it builds up by about 7 or 8% year on year.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Because this
I'm really sorry to interrupt you. However, may I request you to come back in queue for any follow-up questions, as we have other participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Patti from Marshmallow Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on marked improvement across the most segments. I had one question on the free cash flow numbers that we have been publishing recently. So we mentioned that we have averaged generated a free cash flow of 210 crores over the last 2 years. Just wanted to confirm that this is the consolidated free cash flow after accounting for the losses at domestic e-business, Sterling and DMS.
So the free cash flow numbers that we publish are from the Indian businesses. We do not consider Sterling in this. Okay, this is for the core operations from Forex and travel businesses. And we have, in terms of the maturity of the businesses, we have two types. One is the mature business, which are the India-based business of Thomas Cook, SOTC and TCI. And then there are the new acquisitions, notably Hong Kong and the DMS unit. So the mature business India are generating healthy cash flows, which is the 210 crores that we are talking about. And that's on average for the last couple of years. The DMS business, you will appreciate that we took over only last year. It is, we are turning it around, and it is, while it's still sufficient, it is not incurring any additional loans, etc., for funding itself. It is yet to generate sufficient or substantial amount of cash flow. So I think we need to give it a couple of years, like we gave for Thomas Cook or TCI or SOTC for that matter, and then it will start generating healthy cash flows. That's the usual life cycle.
Okay, so that I understand that, but in future, it's just a request from my end that if you give that clarification that the free cash flow does not include the Sterling numbers or DMS numbers, that would inform us better.
Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
So just to confirm, the free cash flow numbers published exclude Sterling numbers and exclude DMS numbers and probably TC Travel and TC Forex as well, but includes everything else, including the incubating businesses like domestic and e-business, right?
Yes. The incubating business, as Debashish mentioned before, are a part of the standalone numbers, part of the Thomas Cook entity. So the profits that are generated are after taking into the losses of the incubating businesses.
Okay, and what were the losses that they generated in the last year?
So, last year, between the two businesses, we generated close to about 25 crores of loss.
Okay, understood. The next question I have was on Sterling. So, while there is a marked improvement, so there are two questions here. The first question is, if I understand the transition of Ind AS, in a way, the cash flows are not changing, but the P&L statement is changing. But given the Fairfax, I mean, we are a Fairfax entity and we are focused on cash flow maximization. The way I saw it, I might be wrong, but the way I saw it was that the change, I mean, with the current existing product of 25 years, the change in accounting will actually help us in saving on taxes, because the losses that is generated on Sterling business can be used to shield the profit generated on TC on Thomas Cook business, thereby maximizing cash flow. But despite this, in the last call, there was mention of changing the product entirely to ensure that the P&L looks better. So if you could speak to this a little more, this would be helpful, because this sort of goes a little counter to our goal of maximizing cash flows.
Right. So on Sterling, just to clarify, Sterling is a separate legal entity. And as you know, taxation is done by legal entities. It does not consider group profitability at all. So we actually can see some anomaly in the sense that while Thomas Cook is a profitable company and pays taxes, it does not get any offset based on the losses made by Sterling. So if Sterling makes losses, the tax, there is no tax benefit that accrues to the group on account of that.
Okay, understood. So that is my mistake. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, even despite that, if cash flows are not changing, given our goal of maximizing cash flow, what is the rationale behind changing the business model and the products offered to the customers? Is one question which I had.
I don't think the product change is being triggered off by, accounting change. Okay. Accounting follows the business and it's not vice versa, really. So, the product that is currently there is a product that was developed many years ago. It's a 25 year maturity product which was developed in the late 80s and the early 90s. Yeah, so it doesn't really suit the current millennials, the current generation. So we are looking, that's the reason we are, nobody is really willing to look at the tenor of about 25 years, or rather, let me revise that statement. Very few people are really interested in buying something that gives you a benefit over 25 years. So what they are trying to do is to develop a product which is more suited for the younger generation, say a 3 or a 5 or a 10 year product. That's what the aim is at. It will give certain benefits on the accounting side because the amortization will be over a shorter period of time, so it does give accounting benefits, but this is not being done to derive those accounting benefits. It's a side effect of it rather than the key reason.
Okay, understood. I think Mr. Ramnath explained it differently in the last call, which is why I had the confusion. Last two questions. Can you let us know the net cash position consolidated right now for the business, including all entities?
Yeah, I will take a minute to do that, and maybe we can proceed with the next question while I fish out the answer.
Sure. So this is again the last question is again on Sterling. The nature of the business is such that we have created a strong brand in the holiday ownership business. Would I be right in assuming that going forward, any expansion in locations in Sterling would be on a contract mode and we won't be necessarily buying the land and building the asset ourselves? Will you be leveraging the bank to expand it on an asset-light mode?
Yeah, absolutely. Your understanding is perfect. So Sterling has a very large unutilized land bank. So it has about 150 acres of land bank which is not built upon. So that could be in last year they used some of these land banks for building two resorts. In future they can continue to do that if they find it to be a better proposition than getting into a revenue sharing contract. But surely it will definitely not planning to buy any land and construct a greenfield property. So the expansions, the two expansions have been sort of brownfield expansions because land was already available. They do not have any plans to do any greenfield expansion. The current plans are all about getting into contracts which are on revenue sharing.
Okay, understood. So there could be a mix of brownfield expansion on existing land and revenue sharing as well going forward.
It is more likely, while we cannot commit as to what will happen in the future, it is more likely that we'll go purely on revenue contracts rather than revenue sharing contracts rather than putting in more and more money into buildings.
Understood. One last question from my end.
Let me answer your last question, the question before this.
Yes.
So at a group level, then when I say group, it obviously excludes Quest. And, we had a consolidated debt of 279 crores, of which 77 crores was on account of Sterling. And we had consolidated cash and cash equivalent of about 600 crores. Including about 30 crores in Sterling. So on a net basis, we have a net cash position of 321 crores.
Okay, that's very, very interesting to know. Thank you.
Rohit, I'm sorry to interrupt. May I request you to come back in queue for any follow-up questions? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepan Mehta from Elixir Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, we don't have Sterling management on the com call, but is my understanding correct that the revenue gets spread over 25 years, but the expenses are all upfront? Am I right, sir?
By and large, you're absolutely right. The revenue gets spread over 25 years. But whilst I say that, this is the revenue only from the vacation ownership and not from the resort business. So there are two streams of income. One is the vacation ownership, which is membership. And the second is the resort income, which is, you know, effectively hiring out rooms or renting out rooms for the night.
How much was the split, the 124.4 crores?
So I have the numbers for the quarter. The resort income for the quarter was 31.8 crores, and from vacation ownership it was 17.1 crores. Apart from that, we have operating income from utilities and servicing of food and beverage, etc. That's about 4.6 crores. That is last year, and this year the corresponding numbers are 32.5 crores for resort, 18.1 for vacation ownership, and over 5.2 crores for the utilities and the food and beverages, F&B.
But that means on this basis, for many years, Sterling will just keep on reporting losses, no? Because everything is going 1/25 and the expenses are coming up front, and that's okay.
I haven't come to the expense part, actually. I haven't finished answering. So this is on the income part. On the expense part, the expenses are of two types. There are expenses incurred for member acquisition and expenses which are in the normal course. The sales and promotion expenses can be split into, normal expenses like salaries, etc. for the selling or for the call center management expenses. Those are routine expenses which cannot be amortized over 25 years under the new guidance. However, there are specific promotional costs aimed at the customer. It's usual practice in this business to provide some incentive to the customer in the form of giving him a free holiday or a free TV set or things like that when he takes a membership. These can be, as per the accounting standard, these are amortizable over the 25-year period.
Right, so but even accounting for all of that...
Sorry, that's okay. Please allow me to finish.
Allow me a minute, please.
Okay? So, the other thing that we need to consider in the income is also this accounting standard applies from, from day one. So, effectively the income, what we have done in the last quarter for Sterling is that we have taken a hit in the reserves. A substantial hit in the reserves, which will come back over the next 10 years or so at the rate of about 25 to 30 crores per year. So that is also an income stream that will come. So without any expense being ascribed to it. You must keep that in mind. And now I'm willing to answer your next question.
Okay, so from an analyst perspective, this creates a lot of complication for us because we'll never be able to get a handle on what Sterling will eventually earn. And the street is just valuing the company on a consolidated basis. So
maybe we should have a more one-on-one conversation on, because this is about Thomas.
What is happening over here, sir, is that always the results will get depressed because of Sterling in every year. So how much on a consolidated basis, it will always appear the return ratio, the price earning multiple, all of those will always appear to be on the higher side just because of this vacation ownership business being clubbed over here, and that tends to create its own sort of complication, because that's one aspect that the management perhaps needs to consider, that because we are not getting the shares like Quest, shareholders get shares of Quest and that will no longer be there. But Sterling will remain within the company, and it will create its own set of volatility in the earnings and own set of issues from an analysis perspective and from a market perspective. And another aspect is that, have you considered merging all the other businesses together, because the common expenditure and all is on the higher side, and we have so many entities, and you know, that does tend to create its own expense base and other issues as well. So any thought process on merging all the other companies in India which you have acquired into Thomas Cook? So there's simplicity of structure as well.
So, you know, obviously there's no question of merging overseas entities into Indian ones. As far as the Indian entities are concerned, at the back end, while at the front end these are, and I can give the example of Thomas Cook and SOTC, while the business models are fairly similar on the travel side, at the back end there is a lot of integration that has happened, and I request Mahesh to give you, you know, talk you through about, on that. So at the back end we have already cut costs, we have done a lot of integration, there are common teams working on several things, there is a shared service team that's in place. So what you are talking about has been substantially achieved, and we see more such things in the future. And now I request Mahesh to throw a bit more light on that.
Just to add to what Debashish said, if you look at the common expenditure, they've actually come down in the current quarter, and that's a reflection of the efficiency that we have bought in terms of how we utilize people, infrastructure, and everything else. Clearly, it's been stated before into our calls also that our endeavor is to create a common buying unit, and we've seen benefits out of that synergy actually coming into our buying in terms of inventory for airlines, inventory into hotels, and stuff like that. We've also been able to go to the market and negotiate better in terms of how we price our products. So all of those are benefits that are visible onto our gross margins and may not necessarily reflect in the cost lines, but those are benefits that are coming in, and we have complete visibility of that. So to us, you know, the two brands that we operate in India on the outbound space and the travel space are necessarily having its own strengths to operate, attracts a set of customers to it, and we see value in both the brands running into the marketplace. As far as synergies is concerned, those are being derived, and there is a shared services center that derives benefit for the common costs. There are common buying units which are doing buying, and those synergy benefits are clearly visible to us.
Thank you, sir. Just one suggestion is there that on a long-term basis, if you can consider getting Sterling out of the Thomas Cook books, you know, because as shareholders of Thomas Cook, we buy Thomas Cook because of its financial services and the travel business. And the vacation ownership business requires a different mindset from an investment perspective. And that kind of, you know, creates a lot of complication, and it will affect the valuation of the stock also going forward, is my assessment. So just a suggestion to you that either you could, you know, split it off, or again, like Quest, give shares to shareholders. So that there's a nice, clear understanding as to what is happening on the travel side, the vacation ownership side, and now, of course, you're going to get shares of Quest, so the human resources side. So it just simplifies understanding your company. And I've been an investor in Thomas Cook from 1990s. From an excellently single, simple company, it became a highly complex company, and now with Quest going away, you're trying to simplify. But just take it a step further and get the vacation ownership also out. It's a great business, no doubt about it. But it doesn't fit into when you try and value and analyze Thomas Cook. It doesn't fit into the basic parameters. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you for your valuable suggestion.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So my question is on the financial services business. After, you know, a few quarters, we have seen, you know, about 15-16% growth in the business, and you have mentioned that some of the segments in the business are doing exceptionally well. So just want to know whether this kind of growth is sustainable in financial services business?
Yes, definitely. You know, we've been very consistent in our messaging in the last 2-3 quarters, and we have mentioned this before. We've removed our focus from the wholesale side and been constantly focusing on the retail side, and that's where we have actually seen the growth actually coming from. Our retail portfolio has grown by about 18% in the current year in terms of volume, and in terms of revenue has also grown by a similar number. Yes, the rupee depreciation in the current quarter did augment our wholesale business, and we saw a little higher volumes coming in the wholesale side, which did help us. But if you look at a steady state and only compare the retail business, we've been seeing a steadfast growth in that business, and we believe the growth is likely to and will continue to come from the retail businesses only.
And the corporate vertical, that's a part of the retail unit, also continues to grow at a healthy rate of about 10%. And our prepaid card portfolio, which plays a very important role in that corporate segment, has been growing at about 20%. So clearly, I think the levers or the drivers for the business are very strong, and we anticipate this growth to continue on the foreign exchange business for some time to come.
And how the margins would shape up in this business, because even margin deceleration in the past was on a higher side. So how the profitability of the business will improve, considering the fact that focus is on more on the retail and you know, wholesale part is reducing. So should we expect over the period of time profitability to improve?
If you look at the EBIT margins for the foreign exchange business, it hovers around 50 to 53%, which is a very high margin business. You know, if I look at the gross margins on the foreign exchange side, the retail typically tends to operate between the 1.82% margin. The wholesale hovers around the 0.3-0.5% margins. Now, clearly, you know, the wholesale business cannot be ignored, as you will appreciate that India is a cash market. There is a demand for currency note that comes in, and the wholesale business acts as a feeder to that business. It also allows us the benefit of consolidation, and because we are a supplier and an exporter of currency in the market, it gives us some benefit to play in the market where there's volatility. So clearly, I think it's a kind of a good mix that we have. What I've stated and we continue to state is that our focus will be to grow the retail side, and in that growth, we expect our margins to continue to hold or grow from here on, but definitely not go down.
Right, sir. And sir, just want to understand, you know, because of the Kerala floods, we have seen impact on the performance, you know, especially on the sterling. Is there any destruction to your resort which will lead to any, you know, one-time capex going ahead? You know, is it something like that?
No, we have had no impact on account of any destruction to value or property at any of the resorts or sterling. Also, in the case of you know, foreign exchange as well as the travel business in Thomas Cook, we operate counters, and you would have seen pictures of the Cochin Airport underwater. Despite that, we didn't have any capex spend or any destruction to property that happened to any of that. While there was a opportunity loss, there was a business loss. But despite that, we managed to post a very strong performance for the quarter. So clearly, to answer your question, no, we didn't have any loss or damage of any property for us.
Right. And so going ahead in vacation ownership, what are the plans in terms of, you know, acquiring the assets? Would you go for a lease, you know, leaseover basis, or you will acquire, you know, the assets?
No. So as I answered one of the other analysts was on the call a while back. Going forward, the emphasis is entirely on getting into revenue sharing contracts. In fact, they are getting into creating four or five resorts in this financial year, which are all going to be on the revenue sharing. There is no scope for further purchase of property or construction at this point of time.
And my last question is on the debt part. We have seen, you know, the reduction in debt. So going ahead, what are the plans, you know, in terms of debt reduction at the consol level?
So the debt that we have are term loans, so which are repayable over a period of time. So we'll continue to repay them from our existing cash flow. The terms of the debt are such that it may not be worthwhile trying to prepay some of these. Because the prepayment penalties could be very heavy, and some of these are very attractive rates given the current market situation, we would not like that. But obviously our effort will be to use our cash flows to pay off our debts as quickly as possible.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Iyer for closing comments.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for participating on the call. I would like to reiterate that, you know, we had a strong performance across the board, both the travel and the foreign exchange vertical, both at a standalone, at a consolidated level. Our order book for the coming quarter looks very strong, and we are quite optimistic about a very promising future ahead for the full year FY19. On that note, I would like to wish all of you a very happy Diwali, and thank you from the management team of Thomas Cook here on the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Capital, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.